Keith Suter.
British Prime Minister Theresa May has survived the political battle of her life, successfully winning a vote of no confidence triggered by the Conservative politicians with a vote of 200 to 117. Mrs. May stared down rebels in her party and clung to power in a secret battle. Now, the victory means that there can be no further leadership challenge for the next 12 months. So, it would seem at this stage that she will navigate the UK through to Brexit. Dr. Keith Suter from Global Directions joins me on the phone this afternoon. Thank you for your time, Keith.
Yes, good afternoon, Brent.
Are you shocked and surprised by this, or did you expect it?
Well, it's interesting that a number of MPs leading into the party room did say that they were going to support her, and it looks as though they've honoured their commitment. The problem is there are a third of the MPs who don't want her as party leader. And that's her problem, that she's still leading a divided party. And if you go back 2 years ago when she became the party leader, she was promising to bring the party and the country together, and clearly you've got a third of your own colleagues who don't want you to be in that job.
What do you think she should be doing now to counteract the third of those people that don't support her? Do you think she's basically saying, well, they're never going to like me, so I'll just leave them to their own devices? Or do you think she'll try and get them together?
Well, I don't think that she can very easily win them over. Someone like Jacob Rees-Mogg completely disagrees with her. Remember, she's trying to negotiate an exit from the European Union. But a number of that membership that voted against her said, we're not worried about crashing out of the European Union at the end of March next year. We don't want to have a negotiated agreement. We just want to leave. We want to leave at the end of March. And that's their hard line. So that you've got a basic philosophical difference. You've got Mrs. May, who voted, ironically, to remain, but she has said, we will honour the commitment to leave. And she's trying to find a gentle way to leave. But you've got others who are saying, no, don't worry about being gentle. Let's just get the hell out of here. and you're not going to be able to bring those two together. Now, her problem now, remember, her tour of the European capitals was disrupted. It was humiliating that she had to fly back home in order to face this vote of no confidence. She will at some point still have to table that legislation for Britain leaving the European Union, and on current indications, she's not going to get that through the Commons. So no one knows what's going to be happening next. Will we end up then, assuming that she loses the vote in the House of Commons, which is obviously different from the vote that she just had with her party colleagues, you'll end up with Labour voting against. The Democratic Unionist Party, which is keeping her in power, will have said they do not agree with her treaty. So they're going to vote against it. And my guess is that at that point, Jeremy Corbyn, the Labour leader, will move a vote of no confidence in the government. And if she loses, if the government loses, then we're going to have another general election. And, of course, we've still got the clock ticking away for the end of March.
She has said that she will step down before the next election, which is due in 2022. But from what you're saying, it seems as though the next general election in the UK will be before 2022.
Well, on current indications, they're going to have to be that way, because I don't think she can get her European Union legislation through the House of Commons.
Goodness me, what a mess it is.
Well, it is. And, of course, the other thing to bear in mind, if you're watching us this morning on Channel 7, that the question was put to me about this issue for the European Union. But don't forget, the British aren't the only people they're having to worry about. They're worried about Italy, and they're worried about France.
Mm-hmm.
As far as they're concerned, they've sorted out the British issue. They're not going to renegotiate the treaty. They've now got to sort out Italy and France. So they're not going to renegotiate. Even if Jeremy Corbyn were to win the next election, they're not going to renegotiate with him. They've done their work. They've moved on to the next set of problems, which are not British-related, but to do with France and Italy.
And as you said this morning, and I might add, just as a side note, absolute sartorial eloquence this morning.
Thank you.
As you said this morning, I mean, am I right in saying that the people in the UK are stockpiling pharmaceuticals and food already, aren't they?
Well, I was back in London only a few weeks ago, and people are very concerned about what will happen on March 29, the end of March, Because if Britain crashes out of the European Union, suddenly all the customs borders go up again. And that will also include, of course, between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. And so that may perhaps even lead to a reopening of the conflict in Ireland.
So does she have to have this vote before the end of March?
Of course, because it's the basic treaty.
And that could trigger, before the end of March, a general election.
If she loses,
yes.
And on current indications, a number of parties have said they're not going to support her. So she will lose that election. She will lose that vote. Immediately, Jeremy Corbyn, the Labour leader of the opposition, will move a vote of no confidence in the government. And the question will then be for the Democratic Unionist Party and the Tory Party rebels, are they in favour of another general election, which my guess is will be won by Labour, or do they swallow their pride and continue to keep Mrs. May in office?
So if they're in favour of another general election, this won't happen before the end of March, though, will it?
Well, it'll have to be called. You're quite right, because, you know, we've got the Christmas break coming up. It takes quite a while to organise these elections. In the same way, it'll take quite a while if they're going to organise another referendum.
Very true. What a mess.
Exactly.
Goodness, exactly. Now, speaking of messes, today it was reported that Donald Trump's former personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, has been sentenced to 3 years in prison for his role in making illegal hush money payments to women. What else? He was also found to have lied to Congress about a proposed Trump Tower project in Russia. So he's free at the moment, but he's got a report for jail, I believe, in March of 2019. Yeah. 3 years.
They're giving him breathing space to let him get his affairs in order before he goes behind bars, which I think was very gentlemanly. He has been sent to jail not for paying hush money to adult film stars. You can do that. But in fact, He is going to jail because they didn't fill in the election return correctly, showing that they paid bribes. You are allowed to pay bribes, but you've got to declare that you paid bribes.
Right.
And that's what they've done. So, and this is going to be the problem for Trump, that so many of his associates are being caught out on technicalities. And Mueller is saying, well, look, if you cooperate with me, we will make sure you won't get punished too heavily. General Flynn, for example, one of the first to start working with Robert Mueller, probably will not be going to jail because he is cooperating with Mueller. Cohen is very significant because he claims to have tape recorded so many conversations with the with his client number one, as he's called, Donald Trump. He's got so many of those conversations recorded. Who knows what treasure trove of information Mueller has got? And the other development will be on January the 3rd when you get a new House of Representatives sworn in, this time dominated by the Democrats, and the Democrats will press for an examination of Donald Trump's financial reporting. Remember, he hasn't filed taxation returns for a few years, and a number of us are suspicious that the real link with Russians is not they were trying to influence the election back in 2016, but that Trump is in debt to Russian financial institutions.
And, of course, Cohen once said that he'd take a bullet for Mr. Trump, but he's now implicated Trump in criminal conduct.
And who knows what he's told Mueller? Who knows what may yet come out?
Were you surprised, Keith, that he actually was sentenced to jail or not?
I would have thought that they probably would have found a way of reducing that jail sentence. And don't forget, he could still be pardoned by Donald Trump, but I think that's unlikely.
Right.
But that's certainly a possibility. But it may well be that you know, 3 years in jail, but he'd be given a lot of time off for good behaviour. And it won't be one of your standard prisons. My guess, it'll be a prison for gentlemen. They'll be rubbing shoulders with some of the other gentlemanly crooks, not the usual rapists and murderers that you normally find in these prisons.
I read a report the other day somewhere, Keith, that they suggested that possibly when Donald Trump finishes his presidency, as a result of all this going on, he may end up going to jail.
That's exactly it. And of course, there are some Democrats who are saying, well, we'd like to get expedite that process for his last 2 years in office until the next election and make his life very difficult.
Why can they not bring that process in reference to the charges against Donald Trump? Why do they have to wait until the end of the presidency if there are grounds for him to be charged?
If they're going to accuse him of high crimes, misdemeanors or treason, then in fact that's what impeachment is about.
Right.
So they could start the impeachment process on January 3.
Right.
And there are some who are saying we should. You've got others who are saying, no, we've got to have other issues to deal with, but there's clearly a lot of enthusiasm for beginning the impeachment process.
Well, he'll go out for lunch this weekend because he's got Australian dollars, $400,000 in his back pocket now that Stormy Daniels has been ordered to pay him. Goodness me, I saw her interviewed. I don't know whether it was a recent interview or whether it was one of those, you know, re-watch interviews.
Right.
Liz Hayes on 60 Minutes the other night, and she was being interviewed by Liz Hayes, and I thought to myself, what did she say at one stage there? Well, the world, I've got nothing to hide because the world's, everyone in the world's seen my butt, you know what? I thought, oh my goodness me. Keith Sooner, it's always a pleasure to chat with you. Thank you so much. We appreciate you making yourself available to us on such a busy time, and as I said, you've been up bright and early this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks very much, Brett.
Thanks, Keith.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Dr. Keith Sooner from Global Directions.